Like so many things in the palace, the map is deceptively beautiful. Jet smooths the creamy parchment on the desk, its golden border glimmering as he weights the corners with stones, a piece of artwork with gilded details and jewel-studded houses that turn my stomach. This is not how my hometown looked the last time I saw it. Memories spin as I trace the little buildings, remembering the horror we returned to at the end of the crossing. With smoke billowing from Mora's home and my father's stable abandoned on the hill. Here's where I almost jumped into crocodile-infested waters. Here are the roofs of the cratered estates I ran past with Marcus, Malia, and Jet on my heels until I found a soldier who knew where the evacuees had gone. Here's the leveled bakery where I fell to my knees in relief after learning my family had made it safely to the next town over. All of these lines should be jagged, smeared.
There were three bombs,
Jet says, the sunlight dappling his arm where it shines through the palace windows and into his room.
60 dead, mostly in the market and here by the estates. We think Wyrim targeted your hometown because it's close enough to the major cities to make a statement, but too small to have thorough security. But you have my word that our best soldiers are on this. We haven't been able to link the attack to Wyrim's queen yet, but we will.
His fingers curl around the hilt of the sword at his hip.
They will pay for this.
The edge in his voice pricks up my neck. I can't remember, after the moon we've spent apart, if it was there before. It sounds more like the other prince I knew. And that's the most I'm going to think about it. That one haunts me enough without starting to see him in other people, too. I'm not sure I want the answer to this next question, but I have to ask. Are you going to declare war? His brow pinches, the question setting lines in his face. He looks so much older than he did on the day we said goodbye, like we've spent years apart. And I wonder what else he's learned in this time that's aged him. A fine blue tunic drapes his swordsman's figure. A crown of silver leaves circles his close-cropped hair. At a distance, he's still the joking boy from the banquet who helped me with the food, ivory scabbard and all. But close up, I find myself searching for him. He's nervous today. Though I guess that's probably natural since his coronation is in an hour. I'll admit I've been anxious for today too, but also excited. Like settling back into the saddle of a horse who once took my breath away on a glorious sunset ride and then threw me over a cliff. Such are my complex feelings for this luxurious place that turned me into a human sacrifice. But even though I've sworn off adventure for the rest of my life, the glass boat Jet sent to fetch me and my family this morning to be his honored guests was still a very welcome sight. It's been a grueling moon. Between relocating to the nearby city of Kistlin with most of our neighbors, while repairs start on Atera, and helping the Kistlin Whisperers alongside my father, as they now have another town's worth of refugee pets and livestock to care for. Mora and Hen have found work too, and while I haven't minded the long days, since they distract me from thinking about certain dead princes, we've all been looking forward to the day we can return home. Back to our average, boring, wonderfully normal lives.